and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor Dana takes a look at experiencing God by using our awareness. Let's listen.
This week, we are continuing on with our sermon series on experiencing God's presence and how we can do just that, how we can experience God more in our day-to-day lives. As you just heard in David and I's conversation, this series has been very meaningful for the both of us. It has spurred on new creative ways and practices in which we can experience God in our lives. I also think this is a very timely series. I know that since the beginning of this pandemic, the only thing that has kept me going and kept me afloat is knowing that God is present. The only thing that's really given me hope for the future is knowing that God is way bigger than this pandemic. Trusting these things is the only thing that can pull me out of an anxious spiral, a flurry of worries that can quickly occur when we start looking at COVID numbers and new outbreaks that are happening all around the globe. It's God's presence that acts as a life raft during this time of uncertainty. And I would love to stand up here and say with confidence that it has been this way since the beginning of the pandemic, that from the very start, I have always sought God's presence, that I have trusted unwaveringly that God was present and in control, that I trusted that God was orchestrating all these events for his greater plan. But that would be a lie. From the beginning of this pandemic, I have worried, I have questioned, I have fretted. I'm sure most of us have dealt with these same thoughts and emotions throughout this pandemic, uncertain of what the future would hold, fearful of how this pandemic is going to wreak havoc on our own lives, silently asking the question, where in the world is God in this whole mess? As I wrestled with these thoughts and questioned where God was, as I was overwhelmed with anxious fears, I reached out to a seminary friend. His name's Caleb, and I reached out to him, and I was telling him about all these worries and these fears that I had. I told him how concerned I was that a family member would get the virus and that they would pass away before I could even see them again. I told him how worried I was about all the people who were being laid off of work and how they were going to be able to feed their families. I had a whole list of what-ifs, a whole list of worst-case scenarios that I shared with him. And as I went on and on about this, Caleb responded very differently than I would have imagined. Caleb responded with a simple, short answer or response. It was two sentences. He said, "Dana, God has the whole world in his hands. That includes you too." And it was that simple line, that simple verse from a Sunday school song that we all know very well. That's what pulled me out of that worry and fear and doom and gloom. That simple verse, it caused a shift in my perspective that allowed me to take a moment and remember that God's in control of all things, that nothing happens outside of God's power and control. It caused me to step out and away from my fear and worry and to step into the presence of God. And that's what we should be doing as Christians, right? We should be stepping into the presence of God. We should most certainly be stepping into the presence of God during a pandemic. But instead of doing that, I was focusing more on the negative aspects of this pandemic. What I was doing was drifting away from God, withdrawing from him, instead of seeking God's presence in a time of need. And I think many of us can fall into that trap. It's easy to slip down a rabbit trail, to find ourselves in a full-on speculation of doom and gloom and what is to come. It's easy to withdraw and retreat from God at times, or to seek comfort in other things rather than seeking comfort and solace in the presence of God. And we aren't the first people to do this. Many people before us have done this very thing. In the book of Jeremiah, God talks about this. He pleads for his people to not try and hide from him, to not try and escape his presence. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 and 24, God says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" In this chapter of Jeremiah, what was happening that led up to this point and that led up to this plea from God was that the people of Israel had completely withdrawn from God. They were living a life for themselves. They were tired of these prophets who were delivering messages of doom and gloom and empires falling. They wanted to hear happier messages. They wanted to hear about their future successes. So they created that life for themselves. They started living a hedonistic lifestyle, a very self-serving lifestyle. Even the priests and prophets of that time were preaching messages that supported this. They had turned into false prophets, and they were only delivering messages that were pleasing to their own hearts, messages they knew that the people wanted to hear, not necessarily messages that God had for them to deliver to his people. All of them at that time had withdrawn from God. They were focused on themselves. In this 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, God reprimands those false prophets. He calls his people back to a lifestyle where God is at the center, not just hollow messages in a self-serving lifestyle. In these verses, verse 23 and 24, God reminds them and us that there is nowhere in this world we can go and escape God's presence. These verses remind us that God fills heaven and earth. He's in control of all things. Therefore, the only thing we need in life is his presence. And that's what I wanted us to focus on this morning. I wanted us to, first of all, focus on becoming supremely aware of God's presence in our lives. And secondly, how we can experience God's presence through our awareness of him. As you might imagine, it takes becoming aware of God's presence in our lives for us to actually experience him. It takes us slowing down and giving ourselves an opportunity to take notice of God before we can become aware of God's activity in our lives and God's activity in the world. As straightforward and as simplistic as that might sound, it is still very difficult to do that all the time. For centuries, many Christians have struggled with this. For centuries, Christians have realized the importance of cultivating a deep awareness of God, but they've also recognized the challenge of cultivating that awareness. C.S. Lewis, he wrote about this and the challenge of cultivating a deeper awareness of God and living life as if we are aware of God's presence all the time. He said, "We may ignore God's presence, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. And the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to attend. In fact, to come awake, still more to remain awake. C.S. Lewis was acknowledging how difficult it is for us to notice God's presence on a day-to-day basis, simply because God is a God that we can't physically see with our eyes. He notes that we can still accomplish it, and the real work is not just becoming awake and noticing God, it's remaining awake. And that's difficult to remain awake because it becomes a daily commitment and labor. John Calvin, the great 16th century reformer, he also knew of this challenge. And in one of his documents, he articulated how God's beauty and glory is revealed in creation. And that it's the beauty of creation that can help awaken us daily to the presence of God. John Calvin once said, "Yet in the first place, wherever you cast your eyes, there is no spot in the universe wherein you cannot discern at least some sparks of his glory." This skillful ordering of the universe is for us a sort of mirror in which we can contemplate God, who is otherwise invisible. And with those insightfully articulated words, I wanted to share a couple of videos with you this morning. These videos are about our natural world and how it is utterly impossible to ignore the presence of God when you are looking at creation and when you are looking and contemplating the intricacies of our natural world, how God skillfully orders everything that transpires in this world, and how that acts as a mirror in which we can begin to contemplate the vastness of our Lord. These videos this morning, they are part of a series that premiered on National Geographic. This series is called One Strange Rock. One Strange Rock is narrated by Will Smith, and he talks about how life thrives and survives here on planet Earth. It's told through the lens of 8 astronauts and their unique perspective as they are orbiting Earth for more than 1,000 days. This first episode that we're going to take a look at, it investigates how the Amazon helps us to breathe, but it debunks the myth that the Amazon is the lungs to our planet. Instead, it shows us how there is a river in the sky over top of the Amazon that plays a very intricate role in our oxygen supply. But first, it all starts with dust. It starts with dust from the Sahara in Africa that migrates to the Amazon. So let's take a look at this first video.
Dust storms can be pretty amazing when you see them from space, and sometimes they're huge.
You know, I had seen little dust storms blowing, and you kind of look hard. This, you didn't need to look hard. It was the continent of northern Africa, basically obscured by thick brown dust. And as I orbited, I couldn't wait to come back. And when I did, I saw that dust storm that was over Africa, now over the Atlantic Ocean. In my next orbit, I see it hitting the coast of South America.
Every year, about 27 million tons of that African dust we can see from orbit drops out of the sky into the Amazon basin. And it turns out it's the perfect fertilizer. As they grow, the plants and the trees turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. One single tree can produce enough oxygen to support two people. And the Amazon rainforest is 10 times the size of Texas, producing 20 times more oxygen than all the people on the surface of the Earth could consume. But not one breath of it leaves the Amazon. There are so many animals living in the Amazon basin that the life there uses all that oxygen up.
For all these years, I've been thinking the rainforest is the lungs of the planet. Now, sure, it makes a lot of oxygen, but it uses it all. The rainforest does help us breathe, but not because of air. There's a river in the Amazon. No, not that one. There's another river, a river in the sky.
It is absolutely astonishing. It's astonishing how that dust from Africa makes its way to the Amazon jungle, and that's what gives life to the plants and vegetation there. It's astonishing how there's this river that forms over top of the Amazon. And what happens next is even more fascinating. What happens next is that flying river migrates and it leaves the Amazon. Here's another video that shows you where that river goes.
This river of cloud flows across South America, obscuring everything beneath it. Until it runs into a brick wall. 5,500 miles long and up to 4 miles high. The Andes. The clouds condense into raindrops, which then race down the slopes and flow directly back into the Amazon basin. Eroding the rock and turning it into sediment. Until all those nutrients are dumped into the ocean and a whole other world. And waiting for those sediments is an extraordinary organism, 4 times thinner than a human hair. It's called a diatom. Diatoms are the secret to the Earth's oxygen supply. They use silica from the ground-up rock to create new shells, which allows them to reproduce. Their population doubles every day. And they begin to photosynthesize, each one starting to produce oxygen.
Take a breath. Now take another. Now think about this. One of those breaths was entirely provided by those little fellas under the sea.
Looking at the oceans from space, sometimes you see a local area that's an entirely different color. Amazingly enough, what you're looking at is microscopic life. Diatom blooms that reflect the light differently so that they show up from space.
Biggest one I think I ever saw was huge. It covered hundreds of miles.
You know, when you swim in the ocean, you don't notice the diatoms around you. But when you're in space, you see the vibrant colors of life.
It's just so stunning, the blues and the greens, but also like, wow, those things are keeping us alive.
It is super fascinating stuff. These clips, they depict for us the vastness of God's presence that fills heaven and earth. These videos of our natural world, they show us how everything is connected, how God is weaving all things together for his greater plan. From the dust in Africa to the flying river over top of the Amazon, to the wall known as the Andes, to the diatoms in the ocean, all so that we can breathe. And it's stuff like this that awakens me to God's presence, the beauty of creation, the intricacies of our natural world. This is what makes me aware of God's presence. Looking at how God has skillfully ordered all things in this world, it acts like a mirror in which we can begin to contemplate the vastness of God, how God is in control of all things, how God has the whole world in his hands. The challenge for each of you this week is to identify for yourselves what it is that awakens you to God's presence in your life. Perhaps simply asking yourselves these questions. What makes me supremely aware of God's presence in my life? And what hinders my awareness of God's presence in my life? As I mentioned earlier, that fear, that worry, that uncertainty about the future is what can hinder my awareness of God's presence in this world. It can hinder me becoming aware of God's activity in my life and in the world. It's those natural emotions that can arise sometimes. And as I just shared with you those two videos, it's our natural world, the beauty of creation and the intricacies of our natural world that makes me supremely aware of God's presence in my life. It's through contemplating the vastness of God's presence that fills the heaven and earth. That's what cultivates a deeper awareness of God. My prayer for each of you this week is that you are able to cultivate your own deep awareness of God in your spiritual walk. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.